Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Welcome to Calvary Church Online. Wherever you're joining us today, in the kitchen, the dining room, the bedroom, the family room, maybe even the bathroom, I don't know. The options are really limitless. Now, before we jump into things today, I want to tell you about some exciting things coming your way that are going to truly bless you and your family. Tomorrow night, we kick off our online small groups that will run 7 days of the week, every night at 7 o'clock. And there's literally something for everyone. We've got something for the men, the women, the kids, the parents. We've got something for the dogs and the cats. Everybody's going to enjoy what we're going to do next week. And we're going to continue this on so that we can connect as a church family despite the distance that we feel from one another. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. You know, our kids online and our students online launched last Sunday. And so every Sunday morning, there'll be a new online video that your kids can tune into, that your students can tune into, so that while you're enjoying church online, they can also enjoy Pastor Mark and his team. And so you're going to want to tune in for that. And then you can go back and watch it again on demand. It'll be archived on our YouTube channel. So tune in, check that out. I actually saw some great Instagram shots this last week of parents and kids watching church online together. So keep posting those pictures. I love to see that. I think now, more than ever, we have realized that the church is not a building, it's people. And wherever the people are, that's where church is. And so today, we're glad that you're here with us. The facility may not be open right now, but the ministry of Calvary goes on stronger than ever before. And I think all of us know that we're so much better together when we stand together. And we're kind of keeping our distance right now and trying to flatten that curve, not only of the virus, but also of the fear that comes with this time that we're living in. So stay home, stay safe, and let's believe God for a miracle, not only in our nation, but around the world. We need to be connected now more than ever before. And if you're tuning in today for the first time, maybe as a guest or someone has invited you, we welcome you here. Welcome home, literally welcome home to your home. We're glad that you're with us today. Click on that welcome button at the top of the screen and let us know that you stopped by for a visit. We'd love to follow up and say hello. And in case anybody forgot, Easter is on its way. It is not canceled. Easter cannot be stopped, people. And we've been planning our Easter weekend for some time. You're not going to want to miss this celebration. We'll be getting together online here again for our Good Friday service, Mandarin at 9, and our main campus at 10:30. And then our Easter Sunday celebrations is going to be fantastic. You do not want to miss it. So invite a friend, invite your neighbor, your coworker. We've got two services for the main campus at 10:30 and 12 noon, and our Mandarin campus as well at 9 o'clock. So tune in. Don't forget. I guarantee you, it's going to be unforgettable. We're going to look back on this time and say, remember when the whole nation was shut down and we went to Easter service in our pajamas? Maybe the first and last time it ever happens again, so don't miss it. It'll be a great time. Once again, if you're a Calvary senior, if you're in quarantine or you're sick at home recovering, we want you to know we're praying for you. And if you have any practical needs at all, please contact your small group leaders and they'll get in touch with the church so that we can help you. And if you don't have a small group leader, then we'll connect you with one, because whatever you have a need of during this season, if we can help and come alongside just to bless you, we want to do that and even offer prayer. Our team will be calling our seniors throughout the church every week just to see how they're doing, to let you guys know that we love you and we're praying for you and we're here in your corner with you. And so I want to encourage you today to interact on the screen. Pastor Vince and our connections team are online. They can live chat with you throughout the message today and throughout the service. If you need prayer, if you need to really reach out and connect with somebody, this is a great way for us to do it. And it's a great way for us to right now stay in so that we can get back out at some point someday. All right, today we're going to conclude our Greater Than message series with episode 5. And it's hard to believe so much has happened since we started this series. Since the beginning of this series, great things have happened, and we've seen so much within the church that's so positive in the midst of crisis. But when we look outside, when we look to the world, wow, has so much changed since the beginning of this series. And yet I think there will be a day when we will look back, and probably the word that will stand above the word coronavirus or COVID-19 will be the word isolation, which really identifies what so many of us are feeling right now. You know, a number of years ago, when my youngest son was about 9 months old, he and I both got a pink eye virus, and we were infected. And so we were a sad little team as we posed for pictures by the Christmas tree with our sore eye. It was very sad to look at. And what was even more sad was that at this time of the year, so many families gather together, they celebrate, they have fun together, and we had to miss all of it because we self-quarantined ourselves. My wife's grandmother was visiting, and so we didn't want to pass it along to other people, and so we kind of shut ourselves in. The worst part was that Susan, my wife, her birthday was the very next day on Boxing Day, and we couldn't even go to her party. She couldn't go to her own party. But her family was good enough, thank you so much, to call her up on the phone and let her know that they were enjoying every bite of her birthday cake. So thanks for that, family. But you know what? None of us really enjoy distancing ourselves from those that we love. Isolation is a difficult thing for any person. It's not good for us to be alone, and that isolation really can make you or break you. Even God himself agrees that it's not good for us to be alone. Genesis 2:18, right at the beginning of the book, it's not good for man to be alone. We are so much better together. We've been created for community. And yet for centuries, solitary confinement has been used and isolation has been used to punish people, even for torture, for prisoners of war. This is something that has happened throughout our history. And so for all of us, when we have to experience even a taste of it, it wars against our nature, the way that God has wired us. God didn't create us to live alone. Again, you and I really thrive when we're in community. And I think never has the world experienced what being alone is all about, except this moment that we stand in, not just here in our nation, but around the world. And listen, without the life-saving and life-giving hope that comes in knowing Jesus, imagine what it's like to be facing today without that hope to ground you. And that's why it's so important, I believe, for the church to step up in this hour and to shine right now, to love those that are around us, and to deepen our sense of connectedness through whatever technology that we can put our hands on. So even as we practice social distancing and isolate ourselves, I want to encourage you to remain committed to spiritual connection, both with you and God and with those within your church family. Because as we distance ourselves physically from one another, we can still find creative ways to come closer together. And let's use that technology. Back in the day, the Apostle Paul was isolated in prison, even sometimes in house arrest. And so he couldn't get to the church. So his live stream was writing letters and having people run from house to house to read that letter. Well, today, this is my letter to you, as I encourage you not to allow that isolation to destroy who God's called you to be. Let's be the church, even when we can't attend a church. He is greater than our isolation. He's greater than the time that we're facing. And I want you to know that when he abides within you, he will allow you to navigate this road, and you will come out on the other side stronger than when you went in. Isolation cannot and will not defeat you. You are not abandoned. He will never leave you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, is this great encouragement that I think is so timely for the day that we're living in. Be strong and courageous. That's a description of you and I. Do not be afraid and do not panic. What a great word. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you, nor will he abandon you. Now, I understand that some of you are separated today from those that you love right now because of travel quarantines, maybe sickness, and that's not good. None of us enjoy what we're facing. But I want you to know that this too will pass. It will pass away. I have family members going through this exact situation right now. But just as this crisis had a beginning, it also has an end, and we will get through it. There's coming a day where there's going to be grand openings of everything. Churches, restaurants, theaters, schools. It's going to be so there's going to be this new day, this new hope when people emerge again back to what they knew as normal. But I don't think we'll ever be the same. I think for us as the church, we have an opportunity to shine brighter than ever before, to share the hope and love of Jesus, to know that he will see us through. And let me tell you this, isolation does not get the last say in your mental health either. Jesus paid a very high price for your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual well-being. So don't settle for anything less than the abundant life that he paid for in full with his own life. The truth is, he laid it all down so that you could pick it all up. We are called to love God, to love people, and to love the life that he's given us. You are not alone. He's with you. We're with you. And Jesus is greater than your isolation, whatever you're feeling right now. You know, isolation, as I said earlier, has the power to make you or break you. And when we trust God and trust the process that he has at work within our lives, he will change the trajectory of our lives. And we can actually allow those moments of isolation to make us and not break us, to draw us closer to him. You know, the Bible tells a story of a young man that they say could have been 12 or 13 years of age, and he lived in a country halfway around the world. The people of Israel had a king at the time, and this king struggled with his insecurities. This young man worked in the field. He was a shepherd boy during the time of this king's reign. And not long after Saul, the king, became the king, it was clear that he wasn't going to follow the ways of God. And the people began to see this. But God always has a plan. He's always at work behind the scenes. And so God spoke to a prophet in the day. His name was Samuel. And he told Samuel to go and to find the new king, to anoint him. And he sent him to the house of Jesse. Now Jesse was a man who had a number of sons, and so when he arrived at the house, he said, "Bring your sons to me, line them up." And he went one by one and said, "Nope, next, nope, next, nope, next." He went through all the sons, and then he kind of looked puzzled to Jesse, the father, and said, "I don't understand. God told me that one of your sons would someday be king, and yet none of these are the one God has called." And he said, "Well, I actually have another son, my youngest son, who's right now all by himself out in the field looking after my sheep." And so Jesse said, "Well, I could get him." He said, "Well, sure, go and get him." So he brings David before the prophet. And the prophet kind of takes him through his own vetting process and anoints David, young David, as the king. But you know what? What was his next day? Did it look any different than the day that he just finished? No. As a matter of fact, he went back out to be the shepherd in the field all by himself, isolated and distanced from his friends, from his family, because this word was a someday word. It wasn't in that moment. He still had a journey to walk out and to go through. And so it didn't mean that in that moment Saul had immediately been dethroned and that David was presented the crown. No, he was out again hanging out with those sheep all by himself in the field, just him and his little guitar, his lyre, singing and playing music, spending time alone with God. But you know, I think in those moments, one of the things that David realized is that even though he sometimes felt alone, he was never alone. That God was always with him. That in those moments, he was developing habits that would keep himself productive and maybe a little bit entertained. He would have to do something to keep himself entertained, maybe tip over some sheep or something just to keep himself active. I know I would have to do something to keep myself entertained in the moment. But through all that time of isolation, it didn't break him. It made him. It brought him closer to the God that he loved. He used those times to help him to grow stronger instead of allowing that isolation to eat away at him. And while David continued to go through this process of growth, a war broke out in the country, and his brothers were drafted into service, and they were taken to the front lines where they were opposing the Philistines. And so David didn't get drafted. He didn't get to go to the war, although I think he wanted to. But his father said, listen, I need you to go to the front and take some cheese and some bread to your brothers, basically on a skip the dishes run, DoorDash. Go to the front, take this food, deliver it to your brothers, and bring back a report. So David did exactly what his father called him to do. He went to the front, but when he got there, he saw something that was peculiar to him. He saw a very large man, a giant of a man, a war machine. Goliath stood and was talking trash about the armies of God. He's talking to the army as they socially distanced themselves behind a rock because they were terrified. And he was taunting them. He was saying, send out a champion, because if you can conquer me, I'll be your slave. But if I conquer you, I will crush you all, and you'll be mine. And so David heard this, and something was welling up within him. He was getting very passionate about the things that he heard, because he couldn't believe that nobody was stepping up. He can't talk about our God like this. He can't talk about our people like this. And so out he stepped onto the battlefield, not arrayed in heavy-duty armor or a big weapon. He had 5 smooth stones and a little slingshot. But in the hands of God on that day, history was made. Because by the end of that day, he stood with Goliath's head in his hand with one of the greatest victories the Israelites had ever seen. And David's fame grew. David's fame spread throughout the land. And so Saul heard about him. He heard about this shepherd who had become a warrior, and he was victorious. But he also heard that he played music, and it would help to relieve him of the evil that he felt plagued with in his mind. So he brings David in, he plays his music, and he feels released and delivered as David worships God. But something else was agitating him. Because of his insecurities, they were inflamed because David's popularity continued to grow. Beyond what David did for him, he could hear the whispers in the background. He could hear people talking about David and talking about him. And he knew that in that moment he had to do something. And so he decided he was going to kill David, because he could hear them singing songs that Saul kills his thousands and David his 10,000s. He couldn't have that. He couldn't be upstaged by this kid. And so he seeks him out to kill him. And now David finds himself in isolation all over again, in a cold, damp cave, separated, isolated from the people he loved the most, fearing for his life, but also knowing that nothing could touch him beyond God's ability to protect and keep him. But there he was, isolated in that moment, completely separated from all the things that made his life feel normal. And his world seemed to be closing in all around him. Now, maybe you're not living in a cave today, but maybe you feel a little bit like David. You feel that isolation. You feel sometimes like you're trapped. I don't know about you, but there's only so many rooms in my house, and there's only so many places I can go in the course of a day with our family. And sometimes it starts to affect you a little bit, right? You start to feel a little wackadoo. And so we can identify with what David was feeling. As a matter of fact, you might feel like death is kind of waiting on the other side of the door, just like David did. Maybe that fear and anxiety has tried to take a hold of you over the last couple of weeks, as isolation has become a giant in your life. It's mocking you. It's making you feel like there's no hope. It's in these moments that we, like David, realize that we're not alone, and that God is forever faithful. You see, David remembered the times when God delivered him before. He delivered him from a bear attack and from a lion attack. And in his mind, if God could see him through that, then God could see him through what he was facing right now. You see, his God was greater than a bear, greater than a lion, greater than a giant. And he was greater than the isolation that seemed to be closing in on him. He knew that God would never leave him, that God would never forsake him. And those seasons of isolation as a shepherd, and now as a soldier on the run, made him the man that would someday become king. You see, they didn't break him, and they won't break you in Jesus' name. Whatever pressure you're feeling because of the day that we're in, God will see you through. He is greater than your isolation, and he is always faithful. Proverbs 18:24 says that he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So he's the one who can be close to you right now. He can be closer than 1 meter apart. He will never leave you. He's that close. Now, he never promised us a life that would be free from storms, but he did promise you that you could have peace in the storm, that he would see you through. He never said, I'll give you the ability to bound over the valleys. No, he said, if you got to walk through the valley, I will be with you, and we will walk out the other side together. Psalm 23:4 says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, and some of us feel like we're in that dark valley today, I will not be afraid, for you are close inside me. You're beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me, and it comforts me. Let me close with some words from David that he wrote in his cave days. Some of us will look back on these as our cave days. But this was his heart, even in isolation. Psalm 142, 1 to 3 and 5 and 7 says, I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him my troubles. Listen, I'm so glad I can complain to the Lord sometime and tell him what my troubles. I know he listens. And I know he understands. Listen, when I am overwhelmed, and some of us understand what that feels like, you alone know the way that I should turn. Then I pray, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all that I really want in life. Bring me out of prison. Some of us feel like we're in prison right now. Bring me out of prison so that I can thank you. And the godly will crowd around me. No social distancing. There will be a day when we come back together that we can put our arms around one another and thank God for his deliverance from this dark time. He will see us through. Why? As David said, because you are good to me. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you that if anxiety is getting to you, if you're feeling isolated and alone, and maybe you're afraid of what tomorrow will bring, I want you to take a deep breath right now and remember that God is forever faithful. The truth is, you have faced trials before. You've been in some desperate moments. And God has seen you through those moments. And he will see you through this one. He didn't leave you there. And he's not going to leave you here. So give thanks. Give thanks for the blessings that you have in your life that sometimes we overlook at times like this. Because I think that heart of gratitude will bring a stillness to our heart and a stability in our lives, even when the world is unstable all around us. And remember this, there's other people going through this too. People that are trying to navigate the isolation themselves. People that need reassurance that it's going to be okay. God wants to use you to minister to them, to love them during these difficult times in practical ways. Because in encouraging other people, God will encourage and strengthen you. Show the people around you that God is greater than their troubles, that he's greater than their doubts, that he's greater than their fears, that he's greater than our sin. And above all, he's greater than the isolation that you feel trapped in right now. The God who is greater than all of those things abides within you today. And if he doesn't, you can ask him in. And just like that, you can know the God that I know so personally and so well. I want to pray for you as we close our service today. I want to ask that you bow your head, close your eyes wherever you are. And I want to start by praying for those of you that are tuning in that say, Pastor Steve, I don't think I know Jesus. I don't think I understand what a relationship with Him is all about. Today it would be my honor and privilege to lead you in a simple prayer so that you would know and have that comfort to know that He's truly with you. Would you let me pray with you? Let's bow our heads. Father, pray this simple prayer after me. Father God, I thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for my sins. I thank you for forgiveness. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior, to fill me with the hope I need to face anything in my life. And help me to share that same hope with everyone I come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If that's you today, I want you to click down at the bottom of your screen to let us know that you've prayed that prayer today, because we want to celebrate with you. We want to get you some resources. Now, before we go, I want to pray for everybody else. I want to pray for you and your families, for your health, for your protection, for the blessing of God that we sang about this morning. I want you to know that God is with you. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, I pray for every family, every individual today. I speak your blessing upon them. I pray for your hand of healing and protection to guide them wherever they go, for their children and their children's children. God, in the generations to come, today we trust you. And I pray that each of us would be delivered from the gripping fear that comes with isolation. And we would allow these times to draw us closer to you, to know you, to come in a walk that we have never even thought was possible. That we could be that close with the God who created us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.